Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Where would St. Paul's be without the LWML? In the 2.5 years that I've served here as your pastor, I've noticed that the ladies from our Society of Lutheran Women's Missionary League have and continue to contribute to the life and the ministry of our congregation in many ways. Beyond the gospel work that they support as an auxiliary organization with its focus on local and foreign missions, members of our LWML also serve on our board of directors. They provide meals, food, and refreshments after Sunday services, after funerals, and during the loaves and fishes every Monday. They sew quilts distributed by Canadian Lutheran World Relief around the world. They make visits to church members in hospital and at home. And they assist with many of our seniors' home services. So I thank God for the ministry of LWML because of its consistent focus on Jesus and on the life of service that our Lord has called and empowered all of us to offer as God's beloved children. Today's reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians casts light upon God's gracious call to the life of faith and love that he has given us. The church at Philippi was especially dear to Paul. Now, and they loved him dearly too. Now, I don't want to give you the sense that it was a perfect congregation. There never have been perfect Christian churches. Every Christian congregation is a community of sinners who have been reborn by the Holy Spirit to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. At Philippi, there certainly were problems among the people. There were some conflicts between church members, sadly, even between a couple of women who had been faithful servants and colleagues of Paul's, named Syntyche and Euodia. There were also some people outside the church, unbelievers, who persecuted the Philippians in order to try to discourage their witness to Christ. And from within, the congregation was pressured by a group of Jewish Christians known as Judaizers, who tried to impose the laws of the Old Testament upon the Gentile Christians of the church to make them sort of kosher Christians. Today's reading from chapter 2 shows us how Paul responded to the troubles that faced this congregation. First, he directed them to recall Jesus and the saving gifts that were theirs through him. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. Is there any encouragement in Christ? Of course there is. All kinds of it. Jesus is for you and me all that we cannot be in ourselves. God made us human beings to be bearers of his image. Remember he said, "Let us make man in our image." We were to express God's nature through our lives. But sin broke our relationship with God and robbed us of our trust in him, leaving us unable to reflect God's nature in our lives. If people ask you why the world is so bad, you can tell them that, well, it starts with me and with you. It's our sin that has made it so. Sin makes us doubt-ridden, fear-filled, and self-absorbed, so that either we try to live as if God did not exist, living to please ourselves in this life, or we struggle in vain to be the kind of people that we hope will please God. We try to do all the right things and hope that God will accept us. But both of these ways of life are spiritual dead ends. Both are founded on unbelief, and both amount to disobedience to God's will for us. So Jesus Christ came to set us free, to set us free from sin's power. We can't set ourselves free, but he came to do that for us by his holy life and his sacrificial death on the cross and his mighty resurrection. Jesus disarmed sin, death, and the devil for us so that he could restore us to life with God. God the Son became a man in order to suffer and overcome all of sin's temptations. Jesus offered his divine human life on the cross as the priceless ransom that redeems us from our sins, that frees us from sin's condemnation for our failures. Through Christ, God calls every fallen son and daughter of Adam and Eve to receive forgiveness for his sins, life for her death, and perfect peace with God as members of his family now and forever. Through faith, these precious gifts of God belong to us. They're ours. God the Holy Spirit has come to us through baptismal waters and gospel words, opening our hearts to lay hold of all that Jesus gives us. What a friend we have in Jesus. No kidding. What encouragement and comfort we know in believing that that Christ has rescued us in fulfillment of the Father's loving will. The Holy Spirit shares with us freely all that belongs to Jesus, the love of the Father, Christ's name that gives us a place in God's family, and a part in the life of service that Jesus rose from the dead to give to us. Forgiven and made right before God through Jesus Christ, we children of God are liberated to live together as servants of God by expressing the love of our Lord in our relationships with neighbors. We heard Paul say it. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God is a servant. Think about it. Why did he create the heavens and the earth? Did he need to? No, in love he created. He's good and generous beyond measure. Why do beautiful wildflowers grow on mountain meadows that are seen only by a handful of hardy hikers? Are they necessary? No, but God overflows with generosity. His creation overflows with life and beauty. God is the cheerful giver par excellence. Jesus, his son, is a servant. Though he was equal to the Father and the Holy Spirit in divinity, Jesus gladly set aside his power and glory to become a man of first century Galilee. But he didn't stop there. Jesus lived as the lowliest of men, as a servant of others. Through his life of cross-shaped service, Jesus gave to us sinners new life, true life, to live by faith in him. Through Jesus, we too are servants. Through faith in Jesus, we serve God. You know what the highest form of service to God is? Trust. Faith. Because when we believe, what we are saying by our faith is, God is good and God is true. What better thing can we say about God than to say that of him? Trust is the highest form of service that we can offer to God. For when we trust him, we do say to the world, look at him. He's my rock. I'm alive because of him. And trust in Jesus that unites us to God as his reborn children grows and bears fruit, the fruit of love, as we obey God's call to follow his Son in serving our neighbors. In Jesus, all is ours as God's gift. Forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, the hope of eternal life. Our cup overflows. So if my cup overflows, what is the point of me wasting time selfishly dreaming of ways to make a name for myself in life? Selfish ambition. All we are and have is God's gift. So what room is there for us to entertain proud thoughts about ourselves or to boast to each other about our life achievements? Jesus didn't suffer his death on the cross, so that we could remain wrapped up in ourselves. The Son has set us free. Free to serve. Free to have our minds renewed by his mind. Free to be of one mind together and count each other more significant than ourselves. And free to give to each other and to all people what they need. Because everything we have came from God. Freely you've received, freely give. Now some have maybe heard the illustration about a man who had a vision of heaven. Actually, I told you that it was a man who had a vision of heaven and of hell. We're only going to talk about heaven this time. You might remember that this man saw heaven as a rich feast spread out on a table, attended by people who were eating with the use of utensils, forks and spoons that were huge, way too big for them to ever reach around to feed themselves. But that's not what they were doing in heaven. They were using those utensils to feed each other. Servants. Heaven is filled with them. And you know what? So is the church. For though we are all sinners, we are also saved by faith in Jesus, the greatest of servants. And he saved us so that we may serve God with our faith in him and serve our neighbors through love now and until we get to that feast table. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our minds and our hearts in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.